Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I don't know about you, but I think if I were going to steal some guy's body out of a tomb, I wouldn't bother to take the cloth wrapping off. Would you? I've thought about this. Maybe that 75 pounds of spices was too much. The Jewish people spread the word during the night when the guards were asleep. The disciples came and stole the body. And the disciples said, during the night when we were asleep, the guards came and stole the body. Everybody thought somebody stole something. Where was he? Well, the angels, they had a different answer. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Well, that's a pretty normal thing to have happen, right? People die and 3 days later, pop right back up again. We're used to that one. Everybody knows that's easy. Why, happens all the time, doesn't it? Wonder how many funerals I have presided over. They're all still on the ground. In fact, I don't know of any other person who has ever come back from the grave and stayed out of it. Oh, we've got those other stories in the Bible, but they died again. Just one. But important things are going on in our world, things that are really of importance for today. 6 weeks ago, a plane disappeared, and it's been on the news ever since. This past week, a ferry with 400 and many more children on it and others took a bad turn, and many died. A distraught, sick father shot the mother of his child. Every single week we get that kind of stuff. That's front and center. What do we yearn for most? Except for you snowbirds, who I think are finally all back. We yearn for warm weather. 20 below, 15 below, 20 below, 15 below. Come on, bring us something good. And we wait for our God to bring us some warm weather. I don't know about you, but if you know where I parked my car, I got to still hear the crunch of snow this morning when I pulled in. 20th of April. I mean, let's talk about important stuff. How about how you're raising your children? With all the love that's in your heart. Or how you care for your grandchildren or even great-grandchildren with all the love that's in your heart. They're turning out perfect, aren't they? Everything's hunky-dory. Everything is great and wonderful and glorious. Why, our love is enough to make everything perfect. As long as we lie to ourselves, as long as we act as if the grave is still full, as long as we're looking in from the outside like nosy tourists, wonder what's going on in that one. Somebody said there was a guy dead in there and now he's not there anymore. As long as we look at this world as if we are in the center, and as if the world is working around us, and a lot of it's a mess, and we get sick, and our relatives get sick, and terrible things happen, and terrible scary things are out there, and we don't like hearing what the doctor has to say, and we sure don't want to get a letter from the IRS, you better go check your numbers again. You better make sure your checkbook's balanced, and your credit card is paid. Make sure that you're working out enough and getting your exercise. Make sure that you're eating the right number of fruits and vegetables. Let's talk about real stuff, important stuff, as we kind of glance at that empty tomb. And then, when we look at that empty tomb, we find there is a kind of a sign hanging out there. It says, "You don't like me? You wanted to get rid of me? You blame me for everything that's wrong on this earth? It's your fault. It's your fault. Thinking that somehow you have it within you to make this world a better place and to be in charge of what's going on here. And do you know what my father thought about all of you? By his heart, his wrath would pour out on you, and you'd be lost forever. You think I'm just something off to the side? This is the most important thing that ever happened on the planet since the Father, Son, and Spirit created it. God came through his Son to redeem us all, to deliver us from being wrapped eternally in those grave cloths. We come here today saying we are sinners. In our arrogance, we have said to God, we can do fine on our own. We don't need to hear about you. You don't help us with the real important things of life anyway. When he says, lift up your eyes and see your future. You are going to be in my presence and loved forever and ever because I took your death. And I forgive you everything that is wrong with you because I've taken the power of it away. Now we might say, I don't believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe that I can come before God on my own and do my own thing. And he's going to bless and reward me for it. We can make up God any way we want. But the Holy Scriptures say someone hung on a cross and someone was laid in the tomb and someone came out of that tomb for the forgiveness of sins so that you can live forever. So that your grave will simply be your last sleep until he calls you forth to life everlasting. And from the moment that you breathe your last, claiming Christ as Savior, the next thing you will know is being welcomed into his presence forever. As he clothes you with eternal life. Well, in fact, he's already done that. For when we were baptized into the power of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, our new clothes, our birth clothes, were put on us. And our death clothes were washed away. We're living our eternal life now. I often wonder, if someone came in here right now and came and marched right up and looked me in the eye and said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." And that person said to me, "Then you're a dead man." Would I flinch? Would I be afraid? It's easy to thank God for the kind of generic stuff. How would we stand if someone said, "You believe in Jesus? You're dead." All but the gospel writer John, from church tradition, died confessing their faith. Now that's a little different than just kind of looking in at the tomb. The only way that we would do that is to be in the tomb and come out and say, the Holy Spirit moves us to go out and say, the tomb is empty. We're proud to be Christians. We're proud to be saved and redeemed. We can't wait to tell someone. That's what our new nature is all about. Come what may. Our old nature is afraid, button our lip, just go along, get along, be nice to people. Our new nature says, he died that we might live. He brought us the forgiveness of sins. He's not listing for us what we need to do and accomplish in order to be saved and redeemed. He's already given that to us. To be proud, to be public about being Christian, to be proud, to be public about coming and worshiping and saying, I want everyone to know I'm a Christian. To hang it out clearly enough to know that Jesus Christ moves us to even love enemies. He moves us by the Spirit to look forward to life everlasting and to say, that's so important, that's more important than anything else our little hearts desire. Even though, humanly speaking, we want it warm and we want our checkbooks balanced, we want food on the table, we want to be healthy, we want our children to turn out well. Most important of all, on the heart of God, is that we are all saved and redeemed, that we publicly proclaim His death and resurrection so others might be touched, so that it's not just a curiosity to come and stare into that tomb, but to live out a life knowing ours is empty too. We need not fear death or hell or Satan or God's wrath. Because Christ is risen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.